Hey everyone, I'm Danielle. I am a blind book reviewer and reader and lover. Welcome back to Braille Rose Books. This is my podcast review of a beautiful, beautiful book. This book was chosen at the end of my last review for Toffee by Sarah Crossan, which was also a good book. But I chose between three books and I chose this one. This book is The Mist Seduction of Cameron Post by Emily... Oh my gosh, what's her name? Emily. Emily... Something... Something Emily. I'm just going to check my library and find out what her last name is. I know it's Emily... Emily something... No, something... Emily... Danforth, that's the one, Emily Danforth, amusing, I can't remember her name, which is, because as a blind person I can't just hold up the book, and I kind of deleted it from my reading now area of my iBooks app, so I just, and I didn't really, I just never really, the author's name never really sunk in. This book was a gem, a pure gem. So, I am an LGBT woman. I like to read stories where I feel represented. I don't always read them. I mean, I could read female-female romances and fiction and fantasy and anything female-female romance forever without caring that I'm not reading anything else. But obviously, there are so many other books in the world that aren't just about that. But there are so many more in the world that I do want to read of that genre. But I went for this one out of my random picks. Because I wanted to read something LGBT. And I want to reread this book at some point. I have to reread this book at some point in my life. So I've left it on my list of books to read. My randomly generated list. Because I know that one day when it comes up again, I might choose it. Not for a while yet though, but yeah. This book is set the end of the 80s and the early 90s, and it follows this girl called Cameron Post, as you probably can tell. The story begins when she's about 12 and she kisses a girl for the first time, and she's like, she knows it in her sort of Montana country town, they're not going to agree with her with that. They're not going to be thinking, okay, this is okay for her to do this. She's kind of just kissed her best friend. Her best friend's kissed her. That next day, her parents die in a car crash. So she's there thinking, it's because of me. It's because I kissed Irene. It's because I kissed a girl. My parents are now dead. And her aunt comes to live with her. Her grandmother lives with her. So she lives with them. And it's her really discovering her sexuality, or dealing with, really, she kind of knows what she is. But dealing with the fact that she is surrounded by people that are completely against her being who she is. Even though in probably New York and Seattle and big cities, there are gay movements, there are LGBT pride movements, there is, you know, the gay rights movement is in swing, it's the early 90s, Stonewall's happened, you know, all the things that led up to more rights have happened. But in this little Montana town, it's not okay. People there are very religious, and she is dealing with that. There's also her growing up, her growing older, her dealing with her parents' death, dealing with her sexuality, dealing with her parents, her aunt moving in and her grandmother moving in, dealing with her feelings for different people and the experiences she has. And I found this book really helpful because, despite the fact that I'm an LGBT woman, despite the fact that I am kind of questioning what exactly I am, whether I'm a lesbian, whether I'm bisexual, I'm still figuring it out. But, you know, this girl, as she gets older, she has more experiences than I've ever had, and she discusses how those all felt and what she felt about those things that happened to her and what they meant to her. And you know, she really... I just love her. I low-key have a crush on Cameron Post, honestly. She's, like, obviously gone through a hell of a lot, but she's quite witty. She's kind of one of the guys. She's kind of quite a classic lesbian, but obviously As in some of the classic kind of stereotypes of being a lesbian, obviously everyone is completely unique, and you know, but she's just very kind of quirky in her humour and stuff, and uses a lot of jokes and things. And as she gets older, she gets more confident. She knows what she is, but she knows people around her won't accept her. And as it said on the title, not title, the blurb, it is told, as it's told us, Cameron is found with a girl. Something like that happens. I'm not going to tell you exactly what. Or she's caught out, or a girl tells, or, you know, something happens. And her aunt is like mega religious, and she goes, "No, you're sinning, you're a sinner, you've got some illness," and sends her to this kind of conversion camp thing called Promise. And I loved the book, because even though she was sent to this place which is like anti-gay in all ways, which is something I'm furious about, and I actually wanted to Google, and I haven't yet, if those camps still exist anywhere in the world, because I hope they're not. I hope they are gone, and I hope that though people that are against people because of what their sexuality is, and the way I found out, you know, people believed that these people were sick. People believed that, you know, being gay is a sickness, it's a condition led on by a traumatic event. And maybe for some people it is. Maybe some people, you know, are the way they are because of what has led them to be the way they are. But we are who we are. We can't always help it. You know, I'm talking about myself here, and I don't think there's anything particularly that has led me to be gay or to be whatever I am. I'm still figuring out, like I said. But, you know, I became who I am because of who I am, and that's just what it is. However, maybe because I only had female friends, and I've only really had mostly female family and all those things, maybe those things have meant that I'm just more comfortable with women. This might just be the thing. And I get that everyone is very much different, and I think that these people are just assuming, oh, you've got your gender roles mixed up, you've had a traumatic thing, you need to be corrected, and you need to kind of eradicate any destructive behaviour that might lead you. And it's like, whoa, people are just people, and they have what they have. And there are these kids who are told so much that they're wrong that they want to cure themselves of being who they are. And I think, you know, what I love about this book is that Cameron is clearly like, yeah, right, this is just nonsense. But she also does grow in some ways at this camp. I was kind of worried that she would suddenly convert and she would suddenly find God or something. But I like the fact that she deals with things, because she has to deal with things as part of this therapy and the support group and the network she's in. But I like the fact that she does not agree with this. She does not agree with where she is. She's angry at why she's there. She still makes friends, she still has experiences, she still learns from it. She still says, okay, all this stuff is wrong, but maybe there is elements of truth here. Maybe the God part isn't what I quite believe in, or maybe I don't believe that what I'm doing is a sin, but maybe I haven't dealt with my parents' death properly. Maybe there are some things that I have done which are because of things I haven't dealt with yet. So she still grows, and I really like that. And I really wish I could just read part two of her, find out what happens to her. Does she settle down with her perfect woman? Does she have a child? Does she, you know, want to know what she's doing now? Obviously, she was a teenager in the early 90s, as, as some people were, like, you know, people in their probably 30s or early 40s are now. So I just want to say to her, Cameron, where are you? What are you doing? Can you mentor me? Can you tell me if you're safe and that you're okay and that you've dealt with stuff? And I just want to talk to her. I want to meet Cameron. I want to be, like, with her and talk to her and listen to her speak. And she's not real, but I really felt this book. I really, really felt this book. In any way, in so many ways, and I just love this book so much. I want to read it again. I give it 5 stars. I want to read more LGBT fiction. I read a lot of it anyway, but I obviously read I want to read more diversity with different minority groups, different things. I want to read about LGBT characters that aren't just lesbians, or, you know, I have read some gay fiction. I haven't read anything with non-binary or transgender characters yet. I want to read books from different countries and cultures. I really just want to read more of everything. But the thing is, obviously, I only have so much time and I can only finish one or two books a week. And I'm very behind in my 100 book reading goal. But here we go. Okay, now we are on to the next part, which is the TBR picking. And I've decided that every time I finish a book, I'm going to decide each day that I finish a book. If I want to just pick one book and stick with it, if I'm feeling ambitious, if I want to give myself three choices so that I've got a few backup plans if something doesn't suit me right now, or if I want to be kind of in the middle. And I think I'll just go by my mood each time, and I think right now, I don't think I want to have three things to choose from, because I think in some ways that can be helpful, but it can be hard. And I don't feel ambitious enough to just pick one thing. So we're going to pick two books right now, and we're going to choose between them. And as usual, if you have been hearing my videos called podcasts, then you might realise this bit scares me, because I know that this book... I read books quite often, and some short books I can finish like in a couple of days, but on like the majority of situations, I do tend to read one big book a week. If it's a big book, it'll be one big book a week. So honestly, like, this book I'll be stuck with for a while. So if it's a big fantasy or a big sci-fi or one with like loads of male characters where I haven't got a kind of strong female to follow, then those books might be like, oh, this is going to be difficult. As usual, I've been adding hundreds and hundreds of books to my TBR randomizer. So I'm going to pick two, and I'm kind of scared because obviously I don't know what's going to come out, and I tend to be quite strict with my rules. I have to go with two. I can't just change. I'm not like that. I'm scared. Okay, so book number one. It's gonna be getting to the right part of the app where I can press random. It's annoying. One Jar of Magic by Corey Ann Haidu. I think she writes like magical realism type things. So yeah, that's. Sounds okay, unless that's one of the ones that hasn't come out yet, because I think she's meant to be quite good and I've added all her books. And number two is gonna be The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa. Okay, I don't know which one. One Jar of Magic by Corey Ann Haidu. Let's see what this one's about. Oh, it's not out yet. When's it out? 9th February 2021. So, okay, it's not out yet, so I think I should pick another one. I don't think that's fair on me to be only stuck with one, because at the end of the day, it's not my fault that it's not out yet. I don't think I should have to choose between just one book because the other one's not out yet. So we've got Memory Police, which is meant to be good, but I'm in the mood for that right now. Memory Police or Tell the Wolves I'm Home by Carol Rivka Brunt. I can't actually remember anything about this book. Okay. We're going to read the blurbs of both, okay? Okay, so we want to have The Memory Police. I know roughly what this is about, but I don't know. Yoko Ogawa. Okay, that's how she say her name. Okay, so $6.99, so it's not like that will be. I don't know. It came out last year, and it's not too long. Okay, let's see. Shortlisted for some stuff. Okay, a masterpiece. discover a timely mystery about the loss of everyday existence by one of Japan's greatest writers that features in the Entertainment Weekly Quarantine Book Club. Hat, ribbon, bird, rose. To the people on the island, a disappeared thing no longer has any meaning. It can be burned in the garden, thrown in the river, or handed over to the memory police. Soon enough, the island forgets it ever existed. When a young novelist discovers that her editor is in danger of being taken away by the memory police, she desperately wants to save him. For some reason, he doesn't forget, and it's becoming increasingly difficult for him to hide his memories. Who knows what will vanish next? The Memory Police is a beautiful, haunting, and provocative fable about the power of memory and the trauma of loss from one of Japan's greatest writers. That does sound good. Quiet dystopian of lots of confusion rather than repression, perhaps better suited for a world of misinformation and environmental degradation than the Big Brother nightmares of last century. Okay. There's that. There's just so many books in the world. I just wish I could just, I don't know. So there's Memory Police. Or there's this Tell the Wolves I'm Home malarkey. Oh, wait, let me type on my... Why won't it let me search for books? Ah, that's why. Whoa. It keeps jumping on the page. Okay. Tell the Wolves I'm Home. Tell the Wolves I'm Home. I was hoping for a fluffy YA, LGBT, or even non-LGBT stuff. Carol Rivka Brunt. That's an interesting name. This one is $3.99, so definitely cheaper. And it was published in 2012 and is longer, so that does make some difference, I guess. Here we go. There's only one person who has ever truly understood 14-year-old June Elbus, and that's her uncle, the renowned painter Finn Weiss. Shy at school and distant from her once inseparable older sister, June can only be herself in Finn's company. He is her godfather, confidant, and best friend. So when he dies far too young of a mysterious illness that June's mother can barely bring herself to discuss, June's world is turned upside down. At the funeral, she notices a strange man lingering just beyond the crowd, and a few days later, June receives a package in the mail. Inside is a beautiful teapot she recognises from Finn's apartment, and a note from Toby, the stranger, asking for an opportunity to meet. The two begin to spend time together. June realises she's not the only one who misses Finn, and if she can bring herself to trust this unexpected friend, he might just be the one she needs the most. Tell the Wolves I'm Home is a tender story of love lost and found, an unforgettable portrait of the way compassion can make us whole again. Okay. I don't know what to choose. I'm not like blown away by either. But I don't know if I want to do another book about grief. I've just done a couple. I've just done one with about older people as well. I don't know if I'm ready for the Memory Police is kind of yeah. One Jar of Magic's not out. Memory Police or Tell the Wolves I'm Home. Okay. I think I'm gonna go with the Memory Police because it's just different. I don't think it's something I would normally pick up to read. because I just don't think it's something, I wouldn't read that and think, oh, I want to read that. But I think I would enjoy it. I think not knowing the characters' names or personalities or backstory, I think it's quite mysterious. I like a book blurb where I'm given a bit more information. So, I think I'm going to go with this one. It's shorter as well. And it's a bit more expensive, but I don't really mind. Let me see. I definitely think I'm going to go with The Memory Police. I'm just thinking, the other one does sound really good, the one about the girl. But I've kind of just read two books about young girls kind of finding friendship and stuff. This Memory Police one is talked about everywhere on YouTube as well. Apparently, it's very good. So, I'm kind of nervous about this book because I just don't know what to expect from it. But that's the point. I need to read more diversely. And this is a Japanese author. I have never read a book. Actually, so I have Julie Kagawa, but I think, I don't know. I don't think I've read much by a Japanese author. So we're going to do this. We've gone with The Memory Police. It was a hard, hard choice for me. I just didn't really know which one. Nothing jumped out at me like that. Nothing was like, oh yay, it's a great fantasy, or oh yay, it's LGBT, or anything like that, or anything, or none of them were particularly seemed light. I mean, definitely this one, The Memory Police, has obviously got dystopian elements. The Tell the Wolves I'm Home seems more contemporary, but like I've already read things about loss and a couple of things this week, and I don't know much about this, but it's been talked about everywhere. So I'm going to jump on the bandwagon with The Memory Police. Let's see if it does look like a big book or not. Let me see. I've bought it now. It looks quite small. Nice and small. Okay, what's the first line going to be? I don't know why I'm even doing this. You're probably all bored by now. But I just want to kind of know what I'm dealing with. Don't want to know about the author. Apparently she's won a lot of awards. She's written Revenge, Hotel Iris, The Housekeeper and the Professor, The Divine. Okay. Is this chapter one? I want to see. Yes, this is chapter one. It starts with, I sometimes wonder what was disappeared first amongst all the things that have vanished from the island. Yes, this does look interesting. Okay. Thank you for listening to this recording, this podcast. I thoroughly urge you to read The Misadduction of Cameron Post. I'm hoping that I will enjoy The Memory Police. I am hoping that I get on with it. It does sound interesting. Doesn't sound overwhelmingly dystopian. I think it does say light dystopian. I think I could get on with this quite well. I might do a blog as we go. I actually thought I was doing a blog as we go for this one, for the Cameron Post book, but it turns out I didn't. I thought I recorded something and then I forgot, but then I didn't actually record anything, so I didn't end up doing a kind of blog about the book as I read it. So I might do that for Memory Police for a change, because it's just so different to anything I've read in a long time. Scarily so. So we're going to do this. We're going to read Memory Police. Hopefully see you before next week. It seems to be that I tend to do my kind of recording on a Monday or Tuesday in the beginning of a week. Those tend to be the days I finish a book or start a book. But we're going to see how this goes, if I can manage to read this book without... I'm going to see how I find it, what I think about it and everything. But thank you for listening, and hopefully see you next time.